Hi, I'm Malcolm Nichols.
And I'm Richard Ayling.
And this is Man Reimagined, a podcast where we, as men, attempt to reimagine ourselves in the 21st century.
How can we respond to the big questions that we're facing, both within ourselves and within society, and make sense of this ever-changing world?
We don't have all the answers, but we do want to create a conversation. So join us moving forward as a man reimagined. Hello, everybody, and welcome once again to another episode of Man Reimagined with myself, Malcolm Nichols, and my good friend, Richard Ayling. Richard, are you there, my friend, halfway around the world?
I am, as ever. The internet connection is doing well for us, isn't it? I have a brief request, actually, before we get started into how the weather is and then the deeper topics we like to tap into. Anyone listening out there, like, if you find value in this podcast, and we should have asked you to do this a while back, but that tells you everything you need to know about our professionalism. If you find value in this podcast, there are a couple of things I'd love to invite you to do. One is tell your friends and perhaps even share it on social media. It really, really help us get more people on board so that we can impact more people. And the other thing that's kind of annoying, and it might take like 3 or 4 minutes, but to rate the podcast, however you're listening to it, whether it's Spotify, iTunes, just go onto there'll be a link there somewhere and just rate it, you know, just leave a short, sweet review saying how amazing I am and that I'm more interesting than Mal and 5 stars or something like that, so that people go, they can come check it out. It would really, really help us. So if you find value in this and you want to do a little bit to help us out, that would be amazing. So, yeah, without further ado, over to you, Mal. What are we doing this week? I'm going to pretend I have no idea.
Yeah, beautiful. Thanks, Rich. And a nice little plug for us. Yeah, certainly, I have to say that little piece that shows up my age anyway, in that I still have no idea that I'm supposed to spend half of my life kind of rating things and saying how good it's been and giving 4 or 5 stars. It reminds me of a Black Mirror programs that they used to have. There's a great one on Black Mirror where they walked around and they're having to rate every single interaction with every single human being that they came across. I'm beginning to feel like the world is going in that direction. But anyway, that's a little segue. So this episode, you and I, Rich, are we going to explore the huge topic and really rich and dynamic topic of spirituality. I know for a number of weeks you and I have tossed up this topic about, you know, whether we explore it, how do we explore it. You know, there's so many dynamics and so many things that are rolled up in the single word of spirituality that, you know, it can be quite a dense topic to get into and also quite a controversial one. But so today we thought we would take our first dive into it and really just start by simply asking the question, you know, what is spirituality? What does it mean to us? And what does it mean for a man? You know, certainly from my experience, you know, that men seem to be a lot less comfortable with the idea of spirituality than women, as a gross general rule, but also you know so why is that? Why does that seem to be the case? And then, you know, further down the track too, hopefully in this episode we'll kind of look at the difference between spirituality and religion and what what we can do as men and how we as human beings really to explore our spirituality and find a way to access that. So, Rich, do you want to start by just simply, you know, sharing your history and your experience with the word spirituality? I mean, what does it mean to you?
It means a lot, and I'm actually going to sort of pop your balloon and invite us to differentiate spirituality and religion from the start. I think that would be really, really helpful.
Cool.
Right? Like,
okay.
For me, there's a really big, huge difference, and it might help men enter this topic if we can separate them, because one's amazing and one's less so for me. And one's at the heart of, you know, a lot of wars around the world, if we're real for a moment, and one is something that's much more personal. So back over to you, because you and I talked before and you were differentiating them beautifully. And I'd invite you to just say what spirituality is for you, and also what religion means for you. So a little bit of ping pong here, but I'm back at you.
Yeah. Cool. Thanks, Rich. Okay. So for me, spirituality, like if I break it down, and there's the word spirit. So for me, spirit means to connect into spirit means to connect into something that's greater than myself. And whereas religion feels as if it's much more about connecting into something that it's imposed externally. It's like religion is a dogma that we're told we should or shouldn't be, or things that we follow. Whereas to connect into spirit and spirituality is to connect, is in my own way and through my own experience, to connect into and to explore whatever it is that is greater than me. And it that can be humanity, or it can be the sense of the universe, or it can be an essence, it can be whatever it is, right? We can use the word God, whatever, but it's our own personal experience of what it is that we're connecting into. And that's how I differentiate the two. I mean, what's your own experience, Rich, or own interpretation?
Yeah, I'll piggyback on that. I think that was a great definition. For me, when we start to move into either area, there are some questions that we want answered. And it's at the heart of, well, it's the soul of what it is to be human. And it's like, who am I? What is the meaning of life? What is purpose? And it's really hard to answer these questions. And so religion is an institutionalized answer of those things, and it can be very dogmatic, and that's why there's many differences between them. And over the years they've become more and more owned by men and misused, and I think we have an uncomfortable relationship to that. But in their inception, the idea was to try and answer these questions, and there's lots of good work, and there's lots of good words and ideas in all of these books that have been written throughout the centuries. They just haven't been updated, and that's why they seem to be less relevant these days. For me, spirituality, as you said, is the individual understanding of that. It's that, not to necessarily need to identify with one particular word to describe something that's bigger than ourselves, right? Because we can say God, we can say higher self, that there's so many different ways to approach it. And so for me, spirituality is almost like cherry picking the ideas that make sense. And I'm interested in learning from people that allow me to do that, right? That's what spirituality, good spiritual guides will allow us to do, is say, look, what works for you? Like, be discerning in what you're reading and thinking. And there's plenty of that's why I'm into yoga. That's why there's a great book, and I'm going off on one a little bit beyond the definition, but before I forget, Enlightenment Without God by Swami Rama. And he talks about the idea of, look, you don't need to a God, so to speak, in order to achieve happiness and start to answer these questions. And so separating the dogma and the institutions from finding your own answer to these questions is what spirituality means for me.
Yeah, thanks, Rich. It as I was listening to you talk, it reminded me of the etymology of the word spirit, which was something that I was told years ago by a teacher of mine who I've learned all my leadership work from, and he said that. And I've researched this just recently, that the etymology of the word spirit comes from the Latin, and the Latin word is spiritus, and spiritus means breath. So the idea being is that in the Latin, when they would use the word spiritus, they would refer to the breath that animates all of life. So it's almost like the essence of the thing that gives us a spark of life. That is what spirit is. And I think that so what that translates to me now is it's kind of like spirituality is, in a way, it's like connecting into that thing that gives us life, that thing that is bigger than us that gives us life. It's, I don't know, there's something actually, when I even now as I'm talking about it, there's something that's just really beautiful about that. It's like I'm trying to access that in me through my own experience and through my own exploration.
Nice, because you were losing me there in that in what you were talking about for a bit, and then when you came to what your understanding of it was, it was like, ah, that is gold. Yeah. Like, so totally with you.
Nice to know that I'm not always fluid and candid there, Rich.
you're talking to someone who's also quite able to waffle and babble and hopefully get to the point in the end. So, you know.
All right. So having gone into this explanation now or of what we how we differentiate spirituality and religion, I mean, what is your personal experience? And I think, you know, what's your personal experience growing up and as you've become an adult around religion versus spirituality, and how's it affected you personally?
Yeah, I had no relationship with God. I wasn't brought up in a particularly religious family. My mum had always said, make your own choice. You know, I thought that was really cool. If God was around and in some of the schools that I went to, does that make me sound like I was expelled? In the school that I went to, we had to sing hymns, and it was very dreary, and I had no real relationship to it. There's nothing joyous that made me want to be a part of it. It was just, so that was my association to religion growing up, and there's nothing there for me. And growing up in the south of England, the Portsmouth boy, there was just no opening to anything like that. So I found myself in my late teens and early 20s quite cynical, having studied a lot of subjects like sociology, communications, media, and law, and not doing particularly well in any of the exams, that I hasten to add, but learning enough to know that, you know, these institutions that we have had throughout the centuries, that they've had functions, but they're far from perfect. And I looked to understand and to find meaning in something beyond that quite quickly, because I really lost faith, if for want of a better phrase, in society quite early in these institutions. So that was a weird time to go through, but I didn't find it in religion, for sure not. And I used to love comedians like Bill Hicks that would talk about religion, just religious institutes crumbling, and for good reason. Making jokes about the dinosaur, the Bible, and how where are dinosaurs in it, and playing with Christians like that. And it's a bit cruel looking back now, because we're all looking for the same thing at the end of the day. And I found my way into meditation quite early on. That the question of who am I has been big on my mind for a lot of my life. And so the answer was well, I'm not going to say it's been found, but it was searched for in meditation, definitely, and beginning that process in, I'd say, my early to mid 20s. And I've definitely always had a big allergy, perhaps like a lot of men, to yoga and to, you know, singing kirtan like they do in yoga, and all singing all happy together. And I just never bought it. But when I got into the physical practice of yoga and it started to change something in me, and it would create space and a pause and just a way out of my monkey mind, out of my depressive thoughts, and into a place I can only describe as peace, where nothing mattered for a moment. And to get a glimpse of that here and there was like, whoa, what was that? So that opened the door for me. there's a whole area we could talk about, which is probably best for another podcast. And I want to pass back on to you as well. So I'll leave the psychedelic aspect to one side, but long story short, that definitely gave me a very clear and felt sense of this, definitely something bigger out here. That wasn't me talking or you know, thank God. Like, what was that? And then actually more recently as a yoga teacher and practicing with real masters that have been teaching and practicing for years. And they've been leading me through experiences where we've just been sat down meditating, and this idea of transmission, someone passing experience throughout the ages and from their teachers on to guide me into a place where, just as a normal human being that doesn't pray or anything like that, I can touch something that is beyond this world and feel like completely at bliss and understand what the word divine actually means. So I'll stop there, but it's, you know, from going from one end of the spectrum to the other, my own practice now is simple, and I am much happier as a person because I know I don't have to carry the weight of the world on my shoulders, and that there is something bigger out there, and it's a choice to believe that, but I'm definitely in a happier place because of it, and I haven't lost any of my sense making or sovereignty either. No discernment's lost there. It's been a choice. So that's a wordy answer, mate, but over to you.
That's great. All right, cool. Well, yeah, so I think you know, I grew up in a household and in a family. Both of my parents were Catholic when they were growing up, and then before they really got married, they both pulled out of the Catholic Church and realized no longer wanted to be a part of it, really. So when for a large part of my youth and right up till I was an adult, really, there was an aversion almost to religion. Because of an aversion to religion, there was, you know, back in those days, I think religion and spirituality were very much kind of shoehorned together, really. They were pigeonholed and they weren't really separated. So, you know, for me, for the early part of my life, it wasn't that it was frowned upon, but it was almost like it was dismissed. You know, religion was dismissed, and particularly, I mean, both of my parents, my mum in particular, had quite a hard experience of being kind of beaten by nuns and things like that at her, you know, her boarding school, and, you know, like kind of stuff which feels quite antithetical to what they preach, and, you know, love and forgiveness. And the people who are supposed to talk love and forgiveness are beating my mum. So it was kind of, you know, not. So I think I actually, if I'm brutally honest, I had quite an aversion through my younger years to religion. And because I linked spirituality to religion, I had that as well, you know. And I really had no idea. That kind of continued. I mean, it was interesting. In my 20s, if you were to talk to people who knew me through my 20s, they would say that I was probably a kind of a spiritual human being. But I think the reason they said that was because I was just an emotional human being. I actually didn't really have much connection to the world of spirituality at all. And it wasn't until I was probably in my early 30s when that all changed. And that the thing that changed it for me was my first wife and I went through some real hard times together. We spent years trying to have children and, you know, ended up going through IVF and having miscarriages and, you know, suffered a lot of pain. And after four or five years of going through that real kind of intense emotional trauma, really, we both were kind of at the end of our tether, and we were living in Melbourne at the time, and we It was, I think it was New Year. It was just after the New Year, I don't know, 2004, 2005, something like that. And we both saw an ad for a meditation retreat with a Buddhist center out of Melbourne. And we just decided to go. And we went along. It was a weekend. We went along and had an incredible experience of touching something that I'd never touched before, and you know, sitting in meditation, and you when you described it before, that sense of peace. It was the, you know, for years after years of pain and struggling, it was like for the first time I felt some peace. And from that moment on, it was, you know, I was hooked, if you like. And for the next 4 or 5 years, we actually spent devoted our life in a way to Buddhist practice and Buddhist study, you know, to the point where for a year we were living in a Buddhist community, as a couple, but living in a Buddhist community. And, you know, I had serious consideration at some point that maybe in my life I might become a Buddhist monk, you know, like I was that into it. And I obviously that has not happened. I am not a Buddhist monk right now. but you know, there were two things that happened for me in that process. The first one was that it opened my eyes to what this exploration of spirit is. And it was a profound awakening to the sense that life is bigger than just me. Life is bigger than my pain. Life is bigger than my experiences. And that when I tap into something that's bigger than me, my own worries and concerns are smaller, you know. And that was a gift. It was a huge gift. And it's something that stuck with me ever since then. It's like ever since then, I've always known that there's something, that I am just part of something that's much greater. And, you know, there's no need to put labels on what that is. But that's just my own personal experience. And then the second thing that actually happened was this realization that, you know, even practices like Buddhism and whatever, they're still actually, the majority of them are dogma. You know, it's external ways of looking at the world. And they certainly serve, you know, they serve a purpose, and they arrive, you know, like with Buddhism, I know that it's arisen out of, you know, years of practices, and then these practices have been passed down, and it's just like they're formulated ways of learning certain things, right? But the thing is that there's still it's still stuff that's given externally into us. And what I realized, why I ended up leaving that particular Buddhist practice was because I realized that I needed to go out and find this for myself. I needed to find my own experience of what this thing is that's greater than me. And that's when I think I switched from following a religion and following a religious practice into becoming a much more of a spiritual human being, somebody who, you know, I'm really comfortable talking about the fact that, you know, I love spirituality. I love it in humans and I love exploring it. And I'm really grateful for that fact. And that's the journey I feel like I'm on now, is just to kind of connect into that thing that is greater than myself in my own way, and however I'm choosing to do it. So, you know, that's my journey, Rich. That's a long-winded story, but you know, it certainly got me to where I am now, and it's And I feel like it's a very big part of who I am these days, you know, this connection and spirit.
Isn't it interesting that we've both sort of self-deprecatingly mentioned how much we're waffling and talking about certain subjects or talking about this subject? And yet I think it's because this is both of our work. You know, spirituality isn't it's the backbone, but it's not what we teach through, right?
Yeah.
We're trying to help men and humans do what we do, which is tap into something meaningful in themselves. And we've been able to do that through learning different practices, and it excites both of us. And yet we're all both wanting to talk and share so much in this, and yet also trying to be aware of the time and holding ourselves back. And I think there are enough overlaps between what we both just said for there to be something really powerful. And I just hope that I hope that it lands with people. I just wonder, it's probably a good moment to switch to the reality of the fact that a lot of men aren't into spirituality and tap into why that is, because I'll speak for myself. A part of me is thinking, are men going to be interested in this? You know, will they skip this episode? Because there's so much value in this. And yet the most important thing is not to feel like you have to identify as spiritual in any way, right? It's like the 12-step program for alcoholics or for sex, love, and not anonymous, whatever. These 12-step programs come from a religious background, but they're a way into finding that part of yourself again and actually just kind of giving up in some way in order to find something. But it doesn't mean losing ourselves. And so I've almost started to talk about why I think men are so resistant to it. But did you want to say anything before I answer that? Because it's a big question.
Well, yeah, it is a massive question. And I think, you know, the only bit I want to add is, you know, one of the things that you and I wanted to, you know, be upfront about in this podcast is the importance actually of being able to and being willing to be able to explore and talk about this concept of spirituality. I think, you know, one of the things that's happened is actually my experiences is that a lot of men feel really uncomfortable even coming into the subject, you know. You know, there's either a dismissiveness or, you know, a blokiness about kind of taking the piss out of spirituality, and also, this differentiation between spirituality and religion. I think, you know, for a lot of men, there doesn't seem to be that sense of it. And my experience is that, you know, the only time men ever really kind of seem to lean into this kind of concept of spirituality is when they're going through some kind of midlife crisis, right? And it kind of opens the door to it. But, you know, as a whole, I do really feel, and I will say this is a Western, you know, you and I are very much a Westerners, and I acknowledge that this is a Western comment that I'm making, because living in a place like Bali, where we both have, you know, the men are very connected into their spirituality, and lots of places in the world that is very much the case. So I know that I'm talking here from a New Zealand, you know, Anglo-European kind of perspective here.
Agreed.
Yeah.
So in that sense, I'm going to jump in. I'm chomping at the bit just to throw my feelings towards why I believe men are so anti or resistant to spirituality. And I'd love to hear your thoughts on that as well. And no doubt you have your own. Two things for me really, really stand out. One is how it's marketed. And two is this aspect of letting go. And let's start with the marketing piece, because that's fun. Like, when we think about how marketing spirituality is marketed, and I use that word deliberately, but because everything's marketed, everything's sold in some way, it's conveyed in a very loose kind of fluffy way. And it's conveyed in a very feminine kind of way. And there's, when I think about men in spirituality, they're often wearing like linen, you know, and they're all dressed in white. And I'm just like, oh God, get out of my face, man. Like, I can't resonate with them. It's a judgment. But there's almost like a lack of masculinity in there. There's like a softness, which a part of me is reactive to and doesn't trust. And the feminine way of how spirituality can be communicated, and that's not to rag on femininity in any way, but it's that softness that I'm talking about, that men who can't relate to that, then, you know, just don't want anything to do with. The sitting, the praying, the yoga, the beads, the all of this kind of stuff. It's like, you know, there are plenty of sort of man buns out there that dress up like that. And it's not a judgment, but what's helpful to point out is that some of the people I resonate with the most in spirituality, men and women, you wouldn't know it. You wouldn't know it in any way whatsoever. And Sam Harris pointed out really interestingly in one of his talks on his meditation app, Waking Up. And he said, sometimes there's a trap of spirituality whereby we're trying to look at these questions of identity and we trade one in for the other. And we go, oh, this thing, it resonates. It feels great. And these people, they think the same as me. And you feel like that sense of belonging that you mentioned earlier, you were lacking. And so then you dress up in that way. Like I do it as a surfer, but dress up like a surfer in order to feel part of it. We all do that in some way. And when we want to do that in spirituality, sometimes it's a step too far. If we buy that spirituality means you have to look and act a certain way. Sandals and candles, smells and bells. It's kind of like, I'm out. So that's one big reason I think that a lot of men are just like, nah, not for me, thanks. And the other is this aspect of letting go. And I think this is really important. And it also relates to the earlier podcast we talked about with embodiment and why men struggle with that. It's because in trying to tap into something greater than yourself, you have to let go. And that means not knowing. And men are typically not brought up and encouraged to be in that space of not knowing. How many times have we said it? Like, men don't go up to each other and say, hey, mate, I'm not sure about this. I don't know. We're not allowed to show weakness. It's that strong man kind of image a lot of the time. So I think a lot of men struggle for that reason. What does this letting go mean? Like, what does it mean to feel in my body and, okay, put my hands together? And even in the men's circle that I run in Germany, I ask some people after we just do a brief check-in. And I don't even call it meditation, I call it centering. And I'm just getting them to just tap into their bodies and feel their breath or whatever it is, just to center. And they labeled it as meditation and they labeled it as making them feel very uncomfortable sometimes. Like there's that aspect of just being with the moment and letting go that I think men in particular really struggle with. And that is what spirituality asks of you at its core, to let go of what you know. Mm. And so these are the two aspects that really stand out to me. What do you think?
Yeah, no, that there's a lot that resonates. And when you talked about that, you know, one of the things that came up for me, there was an amazing TED talk. I don't know if you've seen it, Rich, by a woman named Jill Bolte Taylor. And she talked about her experience of having a stroke and how she lost her the left hemisphere, which is the analytical kind of part of our brain, right? That she had a stroke in her left hemisphere and she only had her right hemisphere. And when she did that, she had the experience of basically it was like the world and its lineal function kind of dissolved into a space of into a spaciousness, right? Like her capacity, she lost the capacity for speech and all sorts of things, right? Everything just dissolved into what we would call and define as spirit, into this sense of life greater than herself, like her boundary of who she was dissolved and everything else. And what it did was that it speaks to this idea that, you know, in our makeup, in our brain, we've got this this left-sided part of our hemisphere, which is very connected to analytical thinking. It's like who we are and the sense of identity. And then the right side, which is this much more creative and larger piece of ourselves. And the reason I'm speaking to that is often when we talk about in healing and modalities of yin and yang and things like that, you know, the the left side of the brain is the very much the yang masculine side of the brain, which is that analytical, and the right side of the brain is very much the feminine, right, which is that more ethereal spiritual type of thing. The reason I'm sharing this is, as you were talking, it's like, you know, part of coming into spirituality is coming into our softness a little bit. But the thing is that, you know, yes, it's uncomfortable. And also a lot of men, when we do that, it doesn't feel like it's, it feels uncomfortable, but it doesn't feel welcoming, if you know what I mean. And then, as you've just said too, you know, a lot of guys who go into that space are kind of, you know, the man buns and the long baggy pants and various other things, you know, that a lot of men carry judgment about those kinds of guys because they're coming into that kind of softer feminine energy. And so it's a really interesting paradigm. And I think that also, you know, coming back to this whole thing about spirituality and religion, it's almost like religion is the masculine form of spirituality, with this dogma and, you know, really trying to identify and nail and have everything kind of in a really structured way, whereas spirituality is an unstructured experience of life, right? And, you know, and I guess as we're talking, you know, I'm having aha moments kind of flying as we're going. I'm like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me, that you know, there is this kind of left brain, right brain, masculine, feminine thing that's going on. And what are your thoughts about what I've just said there, Rich?
I couldn't agree more. I think these are really, really interesting ideas, and I think we could talk about it for some time, but rather than speculate any further, because I think we've hit the nail on the head in what we've talked about, and again, the overlaps, I'd love to switch gears to the other question that you posited at the beginning, as to why do we think it's a good idea for men to explore this area and explore spirit. So, and I'm keen to maybe move away from the language spirituality. We've talked before about certain words having a connotation and how it might be helpful for us as men to re-language things a little bit. So just move away from things that have such a heavy connotation and such a resistance and a weight to them. And so moving in just through an idea of exploring the layers of ourselves or something like that. So I'll phrase the question again and throw it back at you. Like, why do we think it's a good idea for men to explore these different aspects and layers of ourselves? What's the benefit? And I guess, yeah, what's it given you, right?
Yeah. Well, good question. And I think, you know, there's a couple of bits that I can start straight off. I mean, one part for me that is super beneficial to me is by connecting into something that's larger than myself, I feel, and I think I said it earlier on when I was talking about it, I feel as if my own personal concerns about life are much smaller. You know, when all I'm doing is focusing on me and I and myself, then the problems that I encounter feel, you know, they feel massive, right? But there's something about, and this is not a cognitive thing. So for me, you know, this process of going through the layers, as you talked about it, I mean, I'm going to use the word spirit, you know, when I connect into my spirit, but when I do connect into these deeper parts of life, then my concerns feel so much smaller, and that is a relief, you know. So that's one answer, right? It's such a fucking relief when I'm not as worried about my own personal shit, you know. And so that I think is
men are going to like that. That's great. Men are going to like it put like that.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and that is such an important thing, particularly now, right? You know, I mean, with all the huge amounts of you know, mental and emotional issues and mental health issues that are going on. And, you know, we've talked about suicide and things like that, you know, and so much of that is comes about from this personal anguish, right? And I think, you know, and when you think about it, when I think about it, you know, we've lost, because a lot of the West has lost this connection into this thing that is greater than ourselves, you know, the only place that we can focus on is ourselves, right? And it blows shit out of proportion. So I think that's a huge thing. And then the other bit that the other part of that answer to me is that, you know, the way that I explore my layers of myself, the way that I explore the spirit, the light, the essence of life, is I do it through meditation, right? I do it through, and by meditation I mean, you know, the willingness just to sit with myself and you know, calm my mind and be comfortable in the experience of just being with me. And once more, it's like the more I'm willing to do that, the more I'm willing to just simply be comfortable sitting with myself and the emotions that I'm feeling and the thoughts I'm having. And it's like the more I create a distance between those, you know, the stories that I'm creating about my life, and it's like there's a spaciousness that occurs, a happiness, an inner peace, you know. Like I hear that talked about a lot when it comes to really advanced teachers of these kinds of spirit and meditation and things. You know, they always talk about this idea of inner peace, and when I actually spend time, you know, just being with myself, there is a peacefulness that arises after a period of time that is it's life-saving in a way, you know. it just makes life feel so much easier and to be honest, so much happier too. It's, you know, that for me is the gift that I think the willingness of connecting into spirit, connecting into ourselves gives. Now, what is it for you, Rich?
I liked what you said a lot. And as you were talking, I was reminded of our conversation with Drew. And he talked about as children, you know, we, for various reasons, we reach externally for things in order to make us feel safe. And that's really the basis of our character. And so if you're someone that is going through life and not finding satisfaction through acquiring external things, and guess what? You know, that will be the case at some point. No matter how rich you get, you're always going to want more money if that's important to you. No matter how beautiful a partner you have, if that's important to you, then as he or she declines in age, then, you know, like this, the more we base our happiness on what's external around us, the more we are left wanting and empty in some way. And so it feels like this move towards spirituality and personal development, and there's such an overlap there, is because of this sense of lack. And I, you know, ditto on what you said around this sense of inner peace, and knowing that it sounds pat, you hear it said a lot in these circles, but if you can't be happy in this moment now, then when will you be happy? And that's easier said than done. So it is a process, and that's why they call it the inner work. And it's more than personal development. And the difference for me and why it becomes successful and it becomes beyond just doing things for your own personal benefit and gain is when you see that there is something and you feel that there is something bigger than you. It's a choice, it's a perspective. But like you said, once you tap into that, you're able to just let go and not feel the weight of your world on your shoulders. It will deepen that sense of connection to something bigger than yourself and therefore to other people around you as well. And you start to see them in a very different light. And so absolutely does it help with depression? I'll speak to that directly. Does it help with anxiety? Yes. Does it help with any human condition? Yeah, I would say so. You know, that's born of the mind. Absolutely. Mm. And so this piece around letting go and just finding this, and let's say it can be a glimpse. I mentioned earlier these moments of bliss and what I would consider to be just grace and absolute divinity. That's not, you know, that's something that you can get addicted to try and chasing. these kind of peak moments of experience of deep connection. And that's also a problem. It's like these moments we've all experienced in life, probably out in nature, probably on our own, or connected with people we deeply love. And it's just like, okay, nothing matters in this moment. Like, we can be lucky to have these moments every so often in our lives, these real profound moments. And for me, it's the journey is in the bridges between these moments to be more and more graceful and to be less up and down. And that is what the practice of spirituality gives me through meditation, through movement, through whatever modality. It's just this like, okay, I can be not in my own thoughts the entire time and not identify with Rich and all of his fucking bullshit that he thinks is important and that he gives meaning to. It's insane. And once I'm able to look compassionately and go, oh, buddy, we're doing that again. And, you know, and make that a more recurring theme. Yeah, life gets a lot easier. It doesn't make it easy. That's not the point. There's struggle throughout life, but there's a reason for it. And we're able to just step out of that. So isn't that cool? Isn't that worth tapping into?
Yeah. It certainly is. And, you know, as you were speaking there, Rich, you know, the thing that I think is a good point to move into next is the realization that, you know, we can explore spirit, we can explore this exploration of ourselves in any way, right? It doesn't have to be done by sitting on a cushion in a room, right, in quiet, or it doesn't have to be done on a yoga mat. It can be done in a trail. You know, I'm living in a small town next, and there's bush all around me, you know, and there's this beautiful trail along the river. And often when I'm walking along that river, that's when I feel the most connected. You know, it can be in any moment where we're feeling as if we're just touching that experience that brings a complete sense of inner peace, a different type of experience to who we are and what we are. And you know, one of the things that I just want to say, and you know, you and I talked about this as we were kind of looking at the podcast, is that, you know, I'm willing to go out on a limb and say that, you know, this willingness to do the exploration and it is self-development. It is, you know, spirit and self-development are the same thing in many ways, right? This willingness to come into us is a massive thing. It's so important. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say that as men, you know, it's a journey that we need to be willing to take so much more than we are. And I think actually by our fear and running away from it is something that's really getting in the way of us moving forward. It's getting in the way of our happiness. It's getting in the way of our ability to face a lot of the challenges that we're facing. And if we can somehow, and you talked about it, surrender, it's like if we can somehow let go and actually allow ourselves to be much more willing just to kind of come into the space, into the softening space of touching spirit and being willing to kind of explore ourselves so much more, that it's not just going to benefit us, it's going to benefit everybody, our relationships, humanity, the earth, the planet, everything will come from us as men being much more willing to come into this space.
Nice. I'll jump on that and just point out that a close friend of mine is now engaged to a really cool guy who, until they met, wasn't practicing any kind of form of yoga, meditation or anything like that. You wouldn't call him spiritual in the inverted commas. And yet she said that he was the most spiritual man she'd ever met. Because just by how he engaged with life and how connected to nature and his dog he was and the sports that he does, you know, just you mentioned being out on the trail and just there's something around this word devotion, which again makes a part of me recoil still, and yet it's the key. And you can be devoted to your God, you know, the cross around your neck. You can be devoted to your mala, and I have one. You know, I don't wear it out and about because that's missing the point. But you know, you can be devoted to all of these things, but you can also be devoted to whatever your practice is. And that can also just be being out on the trail, walking, mountain biking, playing something. And it's that key point that you can lose yourself. A friend of mine also isn't spiritual in inverted commas, but he loves running, and he just loses himself there, and he finds himself there. He doesn't want music. It's just, I was about to say it's a religion. It's that level of devotion that you can place into something. And again, you don't have to use this word, but there's something around, as you said nicely, letting go and being willing to just letting go of the need to know and just drop into something wholeheartedly and just see what's there beyond your resistance. And at some point it'll click and it'll be like, oh, Oh, I get it now. And then you may well find yourself dressing up in linen. And I mean, I joke about these guys a lot, and you know, there is judgment in there, but they're also friends of mine. So it's just a style choice. I mean, really, like that to one side, that's not the point. It's just finding a sense of inner peace, isn't it? And again, just to piggyback on what you said, I agree. It's in line with the embodiment piece. It's in line with so much of what we're talking about, that the fear of us moving into this space is truly holding us back. And the more I talk to women at the moment, the more they're like aching for men not to become spiritual, but just to tap more into something bigger than themselves and let go of this role that we still play so much of the time. So, you know, if not for yourself, then do it for the women in your life, if that motivates you differently.
Yes. Well, Rich, I mean, there is so much in this topic, and, you know, right. We could talk for hours, and I know that there are more podcasts to come around this field, this area, this kind of concept of spirituality and whatever that means. And in fact, you know, the people who are listening, we would love to get some feedback. You know, what's been stirred for you as we've been talking about this, but also what would you like to talk about? What would you like to get more of? What would you, you know, if you want to get a perspective, a male's perspective on certain things, you know, let us know, because we, you know, the more feedback we can get, the more we're able to kind of explore areas that and illuminate areas that that want to be shed light on. So, you know, please give us some feedback about what you've thought about this podcast.
Cracking. All right, Mal.
Cool.
How would you rate this podcast? Four or five stars?
This podcast?
I know you're not a fan of it, so.
I'd give us like a 4.5. There was room for improvement, but I think we've warmed into the task, and I think by the end of it, there was some real gold that we shared.
I'd say
how about you, Rich?
I'm just too self-critical like that. So, all right, don't forget to rate us, everyone. That's kind of the subtle way into doing that, and we'll see you all next time. Thank you so much for listening.
Cool.
Cheers, Mal.
Thank you. Cheers, mate. Bye.
From this week's podcast, if there's been anything that's inspired you, challenged you, or simply left you wanting more, then please reach out to Richie and Mal via their Facebook page, Man Reimagined. Just like you, we're trying to get a handle on all of these issues and topics. So the more we're able to share and talk about them, I think the better off we're all going to be. Until next time, catch you later.